In the first book of Samuel, the prophet Samuel, we read the account of Hannah, the wife of Elkanah, who was barren, her desire for a son, her prayer that the Lord would grant her a son. And we read the wonderful way in which the Lord gave her a son, Samuel, who she then gave to the Lord's service. That son was given to go and serve God in the house of Eli the priest, where he ministered unto God in that house. But that house into which he entered, in which he grew up, was a wicked house. For the sons of Eli were those that indulged in wickedness. They made a mockery of the things of God. They loved not God. They knew not God. And God's anger was kindled against them and Eli's house. And yet this was the house in which Samuel served God. In chapter 3 of 1 Samuel we read that the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And Eli said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli, that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. And Samuel lay until the morning, and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, Here am I. And he said, What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Eli said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good." Samuel here, the prophet who anointed David, is presented to us in various respects as figurative of Christ. As with many of the types and figures in the Old Testament, they have many different levels. In preceding David, he could be figurative of John the Baptist, who preceded the coming of Christ. But in certain ways, he's a figure of Christ. He's that son born unto Hannah, who's set apart to the service of God, given up for God's service to minister in God's house. Just as Christ would come, the Son of God, born of a virgin, set apart for God's work. Christ the Saviour, God made man, did not come for his own ends. He did not live for his own glory. He did not serve himself. He did not live to build up his own riches. But he came to serve his Father. At the age of 12, Christ, the boy, Jesus, was found by his parents in the temple, asking questions and answering questions of the priests and the scribes in the temple. And when asked what he was doing there, how he had left his parents and stayed in Jerusalem, he said he must be about his Father's business. He knew why he had come. He had come as a servant of his Father. He'd come serving his Lord and Father. And he came into this world to serve his Father by being a priest and an offering and a sacrifice for sinners. He came into this world, into a world which hated him and despised him, into a world which knew him not, into a world which rejected him. He came into this world to die for that people whom he loved, to die for those ones whom his Father gave unto him, his elect, the chosen, those whom he loved, those sinners, those rebellious, wicked sinners who wanted him not, who knew him not, who cared not for him, for who he was and for what he would do, who shut their ears to his gospel and do so today. But he came for sinners to die in their place upon a tree, to take the judgment of their sins upon his head, to drink up the cup of God's wrath that they deserve to drink it up to the dregs, to die in their place, that they who are dead in trespasses and sins should live, that they who were corrupt with sin from head to toe should in Christ be made to be the righteousness of God. He came to serve. He came to serve his Father, and he came to do that service which would serve his people and set them free who were bound fast by the captivity of sin and the judgment which sin brings. Are you bound fast by your sin? Does the judgment of God ring over your head for your evil deeds? Have you rebelled against your parents? Have you rebelled against your Maker, the Lord God? Have you gone after your own ways? Do the hours of your days tick away to that day when your life will be brought to a close and when judgment will rain down? Is that your journey? Is that your pathway? Well, if it is, have you heard of that one, that son that was born as a servant of his Father, who came to save sinners such as you, who was set apart for the service of God? set apart. This child Samuel, set apart as a figure of Christ, set apart as a servant of God, ministered unto the Lord before the priest Eli. He was born into Eli's house. But what a house to be born into. What a house of corruption. Eli was the priest, yes. But his sons, Phinehas and Hophni, brought shame upon their house and shame upon their father, who failed to correct them, who failed to deal with them as he should. He tolerated the evil which they did. They defiled the house of God. They defiled the ways of God, the sacrifices of God. They defiled their position. They knew not God. They had an appearance. They walked before God as the sons of the priest. They looked religious before other men. They took priest's offices. And yet they were evil. They knew not God. They knew not God, and they kindled God's anger against them. And yet this is the house into which Samuel entered. This is the house. Just like that people to which Christ came. Christ had a people, a nation of Israel, chosen in this world, set apart for him as a figure of that true Israel for whom he would die and save. But that natural people, Israel, though they had the appearance, though they had the form, when he came into this world, they knew not God. And he came into a house which was wicked. And he grew up amongst the people who were wicked and knew him not. A people who wanted him not. A people who rejected him and despised him. Just like this house of Eli. And yet though all around him despised him and hated him, he served God in the midst of a wicked generation. Here's Samuel in Eli's house. Despite the sons of Eli, he grew up serving God. He grew up well. God's hand was upon him. And there came this night when the young child Samuel went to sleep. And he heard a voice. He heard a voice. There are many voices which we hear. Many things which are said. Many voices in this world which would tell us to do this and to do that. To go here and to go there. Many voices to entice. Many voices to instruct. Many voices to distract. Many voices presenting these opinions and those opinions. Many things to be heard. But on this day, Samuel heard a voice like none other. He heard the voice of the living God for the first time in his life. Oh, he knew he was in Eli's house. He knew he was there to serve God. But though he'd heard him with the heard of him with the outward ear, he'd never heard his voice himself. You can grow up in a house, in a home that leads you to hear the gospel. You can grow up in a home where your parents take you to hear the gospel preached and where they read the scriptures to you and tell you of Jesus Christ. You can hear of God from a young age, and you can hear of him with the outward ear, and you may be able to say, oh, I know who Jesus Christ is, and I know that he died upon a cross, and I know that he rose again the third day, and I know that he rose again because he came to save sinners, and that's why he died, and having died, he rose again in power. I know these things. And you can have heard these things from others, from your parents, from preachers, by reading the word of God. But you can still have reached that day where you've never heard the voice of God. You know not God. And yet Here came a day in Samuel's life where he no longer heard about God, but he heard a voice calling unto him. The Lord called Samuel and he answered, "Here am I." And yet he did not know it was God. His natural reaction was to run unto Eli. He thought Eli was calling him and he said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And Eli said, "I called not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel, called him by name. And Samuel knew it not. He thought Eli was calling him. And he went back to Eli, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. He'd heard all about God. He'd heard about God from Eli. He knew about God. But he didn't know God himself. And he'd never heard the voice of God truly calling to him personally by name. And when he began to hear, he did not know it. He thought it was Eli. So the Lord called Samuel again, the third time. And he arose the third time and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Yes, when Samuel heard the voice of God, he ran to man. He thought this was man speaking. He thought this was of man. He did not recognize it. He never heard this voice before. And how like us this is. When God speaks, when he speaks unto us, when he speaks through circumstances unto us, when he brings events to pass in our lives, when he begins to deal with us, we think it's all of man. We think it's all natural. He starts to sound alarm against our sins. He starts to make the thunder clouds gather and the rumbles of the thunder in the circumstances of our life come. And things don't go our way, but troubles come and things go wrong. Illness comes our way, bereavement comes our way, financial ruin and trouble comes our way. Simple things go wrong. All the events of life which seem to cross our path and seem to cross us and go against us, all we can see behind them are natural events and the hand of men. Someone says something against us and we get angry with that person. Something goes against us and we get angry at the circumstance. Who causes it? We blame men. We blame others. We blame circumstances. We become frustrated. But we're slow to see the hand of God behind them. And we're slow to hear the voice of God calling through them unto us. When things go wrong, we blame men. We blame circumstances. We find something to blame, never ourselves. Always somebody else. And when we run for help, we always run to others. We never run to God. We go this way and that way. Samuel ran to Eli, "You called me. It was you." No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. All things are in God's hands. All things in this world, everything that comes our way, every circumstance of life is from a sovereign God who rules over all. We have seen this week the examples in the middle of summer of the strange weather in our day. Flooding here all over the country. dreadful floods in Russia that have brought the lives of many to be taken away. God is constantly at work in this world, constantly speaking through events and circumstances, and the world shuts its ears. And the world goes to its science books and puzzles and works out what will happen. Why are these things? And the world blames this person and that person. Why did you let this happen? Why didn't you prevent this? And the world goes to this person and that person for help. And we do the same. And believers do the same. Things come about and we're so quick to run to man for help. So quick to run to our friends and our family before we get down on our knees and call out to God and say unto God, speak, for thy servant heareth. And yet behind all events and all circumstances, there is one who moves and one who speaks. God speaks and it is done. He says, I will send a storm there and it happens. I will blow the wind there and it happens. He says, I will take away the life of this one and it's taken. No man can stand in his way. He causes life to be given. He causes babies to be born. Here was Hannah, barren. God brought that child into this world. And here were the wicked sons of Eli. God destroyed them. He gives life and he takes away life. He heals and he wounds. He creates good and he creates evil. He works over all things. And all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord. All things work together. He is speaking through events. He is speaking through circumstances, and he is speaking through his gospel, by his Son, through his Spirit. And we shut our ears. We hear the gospel and we say that's man's words. We hear the scriptures and we say that's the writings of men. And God speaks to this evil generation and evil world, and the voice speaks and the world says it's just tales. The world says it's just myths. The world picks up the scriptures and say this isn't true. And yet God says this is the truth. His speech is there. And how swift we are to run unto man. And yet this was not man speaking, this was God speaking. Eli told him, go and listen, it is the Lord. So he went and lied down. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. Speak, for thy servant heareth. His father, the Lord God, spake. The voice he heard was the voice of God. Not Eli, not a man, but God's voice. God's voice. The Father. The Heavenly Father. Christ, of whom Samuel here is a figure, set apart for God's service, lived a life of faith in which he walked before his Father, in which daily he communed with his Father, and he heard a voice calling unto him in his heart each and every day. That voice was not the voice of those around him, but that voice was the voice of his Father. He walked before his Father. He heard his Father's words. He declared unto man the words of God, his Father, his Heavenly Father. His Heavenly Father. Christ ran not to man to find out the word of God, but he walked by faith before God and he declared what God told him. And Samuel the prophet here heard the word of God, and that's the word he was sent with. As a prophet, that's the word he was sent to declare. Not man's word. God's word. There are many who call themselves prophets and preachers, who get their words from books and from other men, who put these things together and stand up and declare many things which may be true, many things about Jesus Christ and his gospel, but they've never heard it from God. It's all from man. Not so with Samuel. He heard the word of God. And when he spake, not one of his words fell to the ground. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground, because what he spake was the word of God. When we want to hear God's word, we tend to run to men to tell us. We go to men to be our intercessor. So many in professing Christianity and religion go to men to find out God's ways. In the Catholic Church, they have their priesthood, their false priesthood, which mimics the Old Testament priesthood that God has done away with. And they go to these priests to be their intercessor between them and God. But in God's gospel, in Christ, we have no intercessor but Christ. We can run to Christ and hear the voice of the Father through him. We're bid to go to the Father. We've no need of a priest on earth, for our priest is in the heavens. Christ is our intercessor. He ever liveth to make intercession for his people. We can go and we can hear God's speech unto us through Christ, if we know Christ. Do you know Christ? Have you heard God's voice through him, through his gospel? What voices are you listening to? Who are we listening to? Which voice? Man's or God's? The word of men or the word of God? Are we running to Eli every time we hear something? Or do we say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth"? Has God put faith in our hearts to listen to a voice greater than any man's? When Eli heard what Samuel had been told, he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good." It is the Lord. The Lord. Is ever the way of the prophet of God, like Christ, to walk before God, to hear his voice, to declare his speech. And what a speech this is. What a message was given to Samuel here. The Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. I will do a great work in Israel, and none will stop it, no man can prevent it. Their ears will burn when they hear of it. They'll be in awe and wonder. I have said I will do things to the house of Eli. And I will, in that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. This wickedness will be judged. These wicked sons of Eli, I will destroy. I am the Lord. I do whatsoever I purpose. I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy, and whom I will, I hardeneth." Oh, what a message Samuel here was given. He lived in Eli's house. He saw Eli's sons. And on the day that God spake to him and Eli said, "Tell me what God has spoken to him," what sort of a message did he have to bring to Eli? Could you, in Samuel's shoes, have stood up before Eli and told him what God had told you? You can imagine the fear in Samuel's heart, naturally speaking. Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. He had to tell him that God was going to destroy his house. He was going to slay his sons. How could he tell Eli such a message? Naturally speaking, he could not. And yet he did. Yet he did. Eli said, "Hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that God has said unto thee." And so Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. He told him that God would destroy his house. And Eli's response was, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good." What a message Samuel was sent with. Life unto life and death unto death. Though this message meant the fall of Eli's house, Samuel held nothing back. And no prophet of God and no preacher of God that God sends with his word can do that. They cannot hold it back. It's life unto life and death unto death. They must declare what God has said in power and boldly and plainly. God will save a people in Christ his Son, but he will judge those who despise and reject him, those for whom Christ has not died. There are those whom he has chosen unto salvation, elect, chosen, for whom Christ died, those names laid upon his heart, for whom he suffered. And there are those equally rebellious, equally sinful, whom God has not chosen, whom he will destroy and judge forevermore. We cannot presume upon God's salvation. We cannot presume that we are one for whom Christ died. And we cannot, if we're sent to preach this gospel, dare to sugarcoat it with any sort of message which gives people false hope, which takes away the edge of this message, which makes out to many that Christ died for all, that he loves all, that it's there for the taking. You cannot play with people's souls and lives like that and imply that they are saved just because they say a prayer and accept Jesus when they are headed for destruction. When they only hear with the outward ear and never hear the voice of God calling them by name themselves. They, like Samuel, need to hear this voice. We all need to hear God calling our name. Samuel, Samuel, you are mine. I sent my son for you. I loved you in Christ. He died for you. He was judged for your sins. Therefore, I have washed you in his blood. You are mine. You are no longer a sinner from head to toe, but in Christ you are made the righteousness of God. You're mine. We need to hear that voice crying peace to our hearts. Have you heard it? If you do, if you have, you will hear it through the gospel as God speaks by his Spirit by it. But that preacher of the gospel will not fail to preach that those who know not God, those who hear not this voice, are headed for destruction. When Christ came to the Jews, to the priests, to the scribes, the Pharisees, his message condemned them. This religious people who with the lips draw close unto God when their hearts were far from him, and his message found them out and condemned them, and they hated him for it. And such was their hatred that multiple times they tried to put him to death, they tried to stone him, and yet he could not hold back. He must declare the truth. And yet in the end, they crucified him. They crucified him. Did he hold back? Did he alter his message? Did he soften it? Did he sweeten it? Did he keep his peace? Was he prudent and cautious and careful? No, he could not. Like Paul, his heart would cry out, "Woe is me if I preach not the gospel." The gospel. Because though it's death unto death, it's also life unto life. And it will cease to be life unto life if we corrupt it and sweeten it and soften it. But he must declare what God has said. And Samuel declared unto Eli what God had said. And far from Eli raging at Samuel, Eli knew that God had spoken this and owned the speech of God. And cut to the heart, he had to cry out, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good." It is the Lord. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. None of these words fell to the ground. No words of the gospel will fall to the ground. It's effectual. Every word of God is effectual. When Christ preaches his gospel by his Spirit, the word of God is not in vain. You may hear it, and you may harden your hearts against it, but it has the effect that God purposes. It will either harden your heart or it will break your heart. It will either slay you or it will save you. It will either harden the condemnation against your sins, or it will deliver you from your sins and set you free. But none of these words will fall to the ground. Have you heard the words? Have you ears for the words? Do you care for the words? Or are you a Hophni and a Phineas who will corrupt them and run away and think that you will prosper serving yourself? Well, don't play the fool, because God destroyed them and he will destroy you if you stay in that way. But if your ears hear a voice calling you, "Samuel, Samuel," then listen and fall to your knees before that voice and say, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Have mercy upon me, Lord. Have mercy upon me." All Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. Just as those that heard Christ who followed him knew when they heard him that here's a prophet like none other. And his speech is with power and authority. His doctrine is not like the doctrine of men, but it's the word of God. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. By the word of the Lord. That's how he reveals himself. By his word. The word is Christ. If you're ever to know God, you will know him through Christ and Christ alone. By the word of the Lord, the word as in the scriptures and the gospels first, but ultimately the word as it is Christ, as he speaks and makes himself known unto you. You must hear Christ and his gospel. You must. Why did the ears of everyone that heard this message tingle? Why was this message so effectual? Because of the great work which God would do in saving Israel. He slew Eli's house, yes. He destroys the wicked. He comes not to save the self-righteous, but sinners. He comes not to save those that profess God, yet know him not. But he comes to save those who are nothing, whose hearts are melted and broken before him, and who hear his word. That still small voice in the gospel. He comes to save them. And he saved Israel by sending his son, of whom Samuel was the figure, into that evil world. into that house of sinners, into that den of thieves, into this den of iniquity. He sent his son into the lion's den, where his enemies would rip him up and tear him asunder, where his enemies would pull the flesh off from him, where they would slay him and beat him and crucify him. He sent his son into the midst of his enemies that he should die in the place of sinners. And that though they meant that for evil, that though they meant to put the Son of God to death and silence his message, God sent him there because God would turn what man sought to use for evil for good. God would turn it around, and what they thought would silence Christ and his gospel all the more opened up his voice. Because when he died with a cry that it is finished. He had accomplished the work. He had taken away the sins of his people. He died as their substitute. He took all their sins upon him, and he took it all away. And when he rose from the grave, far from that Son of God being laid in the grave forever, far from his voice being silenced forever, far from that gospel being dismissed with, it made that voice cry louder to the end of the age. It made that gospel greater. He rose from the grave with a shout of triumph. He who loved Israel, he who loved his people, he who gave himself for that people he loved, he who died for that people, rose with them and went forth in power, declaring what he had done. In that day, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. Whether you hated and rejected, or whether you come to see that he is your Saviour crucified for you, your ears will burn when you hear that gospel in power, and when you come to know the reality of it. Your ears will burn, because he wrought a mighty salvation which could not be taken away. Have you heard his voice crying out from heaven? There comes a day when all will hear the voice of God the Father speak through his Son. There comes a day when every knee will be brought to bow before the Son of God. There comes a day when we will all hear that voice. But we will either hear it this side of the grave or the other. And we will either hear it calling our name this side of the grave and calling us unto salvation. Or we will hear it the other side of the grave, casting us out into outer darkness in judgment. We must hear that voice. But oh, that we should hear it now. Oh, that we should hear it now in the gospel. Speaking not death unto death, but speaking life unto life. Have you heard? Are you listening? Are you running to man? Or are you falling on your knees and saying, "Speak, Lord. Thy servant heareth." Oh, may we hear that voice. And may it be said of that voice, when we hear it, by faith, "It is the Lord. It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. It is the Lord." Amen.